Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And if you, you'll have to excuse me. I'm from New England, so if I have a little bit of an accent. You know, I never knew I had an accent until I came out to Michigan. It's true. I grew up in Massachusetts, never left the state, and then I got saved at the age of 19 and then called to preach. And my pastor, Pastor Mario Cedina, I don't know if anybody knows Pastor Mario Cedina, he's over in Highland, Michigan. He went to Midwestern Baptist College in Pontiac, Michigan, Dr. Malone. So he of course, encouraged us preacher boys to go out there. So I went out to Midwestern Baptist College for 4 years, from 1992, graduated in 1996. But when I arrived here, everybody, you know, kind of looked at me funny in my accent. I never knew I had an accent until I came to Michigan. And then in Michigan, I don't know if they have an accent. I never noticed anything. It was just strange that I realized I had one, never knew it. So anyway, if you hear a little bit of an accent, just bear with me and try to understand. We leave out the R's and put R's where I guess they don't belong. And so if you'll pick up and we'll meet in the middle somewhere. Amen. Matthew chapter 12 is an interesting couple of verses down in verse 39. I'll read just kind of use this as a springboard this morning. Matthew chapter 12, verse 39. And of course, these are the words of Christ. The Bible says here, "But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. She came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Now, I read these verses this morning just as a way of giving credibility to, I don't have to give credibility. Jesus himself gave credibility to the story of Jonah. And we're going to be looking at the story of Jonah this morning. And if Jesus gave credibility to the story of Jonah, and as Jonah was a real person, and this was a real story, it really happened that Jonah spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale. If Jesus said so, then I believe it. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? If Jesus would have said, as the whale spent 3 days and three nights in the belly of Jonah, I still would have believed it because Jesus said it. Amen. I believe the Bible this morning, and I believe you do as well. So we're going to turn over to the book of Jonah, if you would, please. Join me there in Jonah chapter 1. And we're going to see some things here this morning I pray would be a help and a blessing to you. Many of us know the story of Jonah. Perhaps you're greatly familiar with the story of Jonah. I'm sure as if you grew up in church, you've had Sunday school stories about Jonah. And then perhaps in your own reading, Jonah is a very short book. You can read it in one sitting. And it's always a blessing to read through Jonah and discover new things all the time. Jonah is just one of those books, all of a sudden something will pop out at you you didn't really recognize before. And I pray this morning that that will happen this morning. God will bless your heart as we look through the story of Jonah this morning. Now, some of the difficulties we see, of course, as we automatically think of Jonah, is immediately our minds go to his 3 day stay at Whale University. You know, we think of the prophet who ran from God, and that is what sticks out in our minds, and we've been taught that. But there's so much more to the story. There are three prominent characters, if you will, three outstanding characters in the book of Jonah. Of course, Jonah himself, and then there's the people of Nineveh. But mostly, the outstanding character is God. God is the prominent character, and we learn most about God and His heart through the story that is found here in the book of Jonah. Now, Jonah, as we said, the difficulty we experience immediately is his running from God. We see a man who is not submissive to God's will. And I think oftentimes we can, if we really think about it, if we're really honest with ourselves, we can find ourselves within the story of Jonah. We can relate to him because there are times that we're faced with difficulties of things that God would have us to do, and we find the difficulty at times submitting to God's will. As a pastor, I have come in contact with many people who are seeking the Lord's will. I've been asked that oftentimes, Pastor, what do you believe God's will is for my life? And I always have the same answer. I have no idea. I have no idea what God's will for your life is. I only know what God's will for my life is. I have no idea what God's will is for your life. You know, Pastor Zavosky has no idea what God's will for your life is. Now, we understand that God has revealed much of His will within His Word, His revealed will. But I believe God has a personal, prescribed will for our lives of things that we were to be doing as His children, things that we're to be involved in, amen? He has a prescribed will for our lives, and oftentimes that's only revealed to you. And Jonah certainly had a will. God's will for Jonah was to go to Nineveh. That was His will for Jonah. But we find here, he had difficulty in submitting to God's will. And perhaps there have been times where God has dealt with your heart about a certain thing, and it's been difficult submitting to His will. Now, as I look at God's will and throughout God's Word, and we find out much about God's will, of course, His revealed will. We know God has revealed much of His will. We know it's God's will that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We know that's God's revealed will in His Word. God wants everybody to be saved. Amen? But there are other parts where God has hidden His will. When things happen, difficulties and tragedies happen, and we don't understand why, and God has not chosen to reveal those things to us. And so we need to realize that there's part of God's will that will never be revealed on this side of heaven, and we just need to learn to trust God and to be able to have faith and follow Him in the difficult times. But then again, there's another side of God's will, and that is His personal prescribed will for our own lives that He reveals to our hearts and His desires that He puts within us. And we need to be willing as His people to follow that, whatever it may be. And we need to get to the place where we're submissive to God's will to say, God, whatever it is that You desire for my life, I'll be willing to do that. You know, as the prophet Isaiah said, here am I, send me. We understand there was a willingness there, but Jonah, we don't find that willingness. He's not submissive to God's will. But before we get into the story, there's something I see concerning God's will. And God revealed this to me in a very familiar passage that perhaps you're familiar with as well. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. And Paul said, I beseech thee, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable service. And then it goes on to say, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that what? Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So I know this about God's will for my life, that number one, it's good. God's will is always good. It's the best thing going in my life this morning is what God's will and God's way is for me. Now, I have a lot of things that I could dream up and do in my lifetime. I'm certain we all could think of how we could spend our days and spend our time upon the earth. But following God's will for my life, I realize that it's good for me. It's beneficial for me. And I found now being saved over 20 years that God's will is not only good, it's best for me. It's best for my life. It's the best thing that I could be involved in this morning is being involved in God's will for my life. I just want to let you know, Christian, here this morning, the best thing you could be involved in this morning and invest your time, your efforts, your treasure, if you will, your time, talents, and treasure. The best thing you can invest in is God's will for your life. But not only is God's will good, the Bible says it's also acceptable. That is, God puts His favor upon it. God is is pleased when we're involved in doing His will. So it's acceptable to God. He favors those who do His will. By the way, I want you to know what Jesus said concerning those who are following His will. He said that he that doeth the will of my Father, the same is my mother, my sister, and my brother. What was He saying? He was saying those who are interested, those who are excited about, those that are involved in doing my will are those that are related to me. So in other words, if the one thing that marks us as Christians or as followers of Jesus Christ, the one thing that would stand out as a symbol of those that are followers of Jesus Christ are those that are doing or interested in doing the will of God. And so let that be a reminder this morning as we look to the story here of Jonah. And if you would please join me there in chapter 1. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." Verse 3, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." Now, let me just stop right here and just point out a few things we can understand. Number one, we believe it's God's will. It was God's will for Jonah to go to Nineveh. We see that. The word of the Lord came to him saying, "Arise and go to Nineveh." That was God's commission for Jonah to go. God's will. But we find Jonah going in the opposite direction, and he flees from the presence of the Lord. And we understand that you cannot flee from the presence of the Lord. Amen. The Lord sees where we are. He knows exactly where we are. He knew exactly where Jonah was the whole time. You know, and oftentimes when we think we're hiding from God, we think we can get away from God, and God does not see what's going on in our lives. And friends, I just want, as a reminder, and perhaps you already know this, but just as a reminder, God sees everything. Amen? God knows exactly where we are. He knows our thoughts. He knows everything about us. So why in the world would we ever try to hide from God? You know, I can remember when our son Chandler, he's not here this morning. He's out in the other Sunday school. But when he was a little bit smaller, I don't know, he was probably 4 or 5 years old. And of course, we had bedtime for them, 8 o'clock, you know, 7:30, 8 o'clock. And we sent them up to bed. Well, he wasn't tired and he didn't want to go to bed. And so he was hungry. So he figured he was going to come down and get a snack, but he was going to try to hide from us. He was going to try to sneak by us. So what he did is he grabbed a school bag from his room and he put it over his head. And he came, and here we are sitting in the living room. We see him, we hear his little feet on the stairs. He's coming down the stairs and he's got the school bag over his head. And he walks right by us, goes into the kitchen. We hear him in the kitchen, going through the fridge and the cabinets. We're saying, "What in the world's going on here?" And then he grabs his snack and he puts the school bag over his head and he walks back by us and he's going up the stairs and we're like, "Hey, what are you doing?" And he stops and he takes the school bag off and he says, "You could see me?" Like, yeah, we can see you. You know, he thought just because he couldn't see us that we couldn't see him. You know, a silly illustration, but you know, sometimes that's how we are with God. We think just because we can't see Him, that He can't see us. But friend, I want you to know something. He sees all. He sees everything. There's nothing that is hidden from His eyes. The Bible says that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth. And God sees also. Jonah wasn't hiding from God, and maybe he knew that. But maybe he was just saying no. Maybe he was just in his heart said no. I don't want to go to Nineveh. And so, you know, we can understand there was some difficulty here, and we're going to look at these. Because oftentimes we pin down Jonah for his reluctancy to follow God's will. But I want us to stop and consider our own path and see if there perhaps is a Nineveh in our life. And there's something that maybe even this morning that God has been dealing with you about, but you have said no to God. It's a Nineveh in your life. And so this morning, for the rest of our time, I just wanted you to think about, what is my Nineveh? Is there something that God would have me to do, but I've been reluctant to do so? Is there maybe a ministry that God would have me to be involved in, but, you know, I haven't told anybody about it, but I have been telling God no. Maybe there's some area in this church that God's been wanting you to help with and be involved in. I mean, you have a vision for, and you know that God could use you there, but in your spirit, you've been saying no. And so maybe there's a Nineveh this morning in your life. And it might not even be about ministry, but it might be something. It could be maybe someone in your family that God's been dealing with you to witness to and or to stand up. And maybe at the workplace that, you know, that you haven't told others that you're a Christian and you haven't been standing for the Lord. But maybe some place or something in your life this morning is a Nineveh. And so let's not be too quick to pin down Jonah, because oftentimes, and perhaps even this morning, there's a Nineveh in our life. Now, what was Nineveh to Jonah? What was it? Let's just stop and think about it. What was so bad about Nineveh to Jonah? Well, a couple of things we can see is, well, we know, number one, is that they were the enemies of Israel. They were Syrians. And they did not get along with Israel. And so the Assyrians, not only were they enemies of Israel, but they were a brutal enemy. The Assyrians were known for their brutality in war, that they would, you know, not only would they kill their enemy, but they would dismember their enemies. They made pyramids out of skulls in their city. I mean, this was a very brutal place, a hard place, of course, for any Hebrew to go to. I mean, it's just some places you avoid, and certainly as a Jew and as a Hebrew, Nineveh was one of those places you just didn't go. So no doubt, I'm sure there was some fear involved. What are they going to do to me if I go there? I mean, they might kill me. And of course, they hated Israel, so Israel hated them, so there was some prejudice involved as well. And then I'm certain that Jonah probably said, well, why me? You know, there are a lot of other prophets, and we know that Amos and Hosea, they were around the same time, and there was many other prophets in Israel. Why me? You know, let somebody else do it. I know we've never said that before, right? Let somebody else do it. So, you know, maybe a little bit of indifference towards the will of God. And then, you know, it could be that Jonah knew that in doing so that he would be, God would reveal perhaps not only his fear, but maybe other weaknesses in his life. He knew it would be a difficult journey ahead if he had submitted to God's will. Something else that we learn about Jonah as we study through Jonah's life, and I don't have time to go through all of the verses here this morning, but as you read through Jonah's life, you'll understand that he was certainly a godly person. And we find that as you go down through chapter 1, when the storm came, and God, of course, sent the storm, and the mariners, they're calling out to their gods, and they find Jonah, you know, he's asleep in the sides of the boat there, fast asleep, and they wake him up and say, how could you sleep, you know? Call upon your gods, we're going to die. And so they wake up Jonah, and they want to find out, look, who is this guy on board? They want to find out who angered their God. They want to, you know, of course, they're superstitious. They're calling out to their pagan's God. So they wake up Jonah, and they want to find out a little bit more about Jonah. So if you look what he says in verse 9, they ask, verse 8, they said unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? Whence comest thou? What is thy country? And what people art thou?" Look what Jonah says. And he said unto them, "I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and dry land." Then were the men exceeding afraid, and they said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. And so we know that he said, "I fear God." And we see in other areas in that he was a godly man. We see that in verse 9. So he feared God. Not only was he had some other great characteristics about him. He was a courageous man. So I know he feared Nineveh, but looking in verse 12, I mean, when they found out it was Jonah who had angered his God, he said unto them, "Take me up, cast me forth into the sea." I mean, that took courage, right? Go ahead, kill me. I'm the one who's causing all of this, so get rid of me. So he had certainly courage, but another good characteristic we see over in chapter 2, we see that when he of course, was swallowed by the whale, that he was a praying man. He prayed out of that whale's belly. He got a hold of God. So we see within Jonah, there were some good characteristics, and then there were other things about Jonah that we, you know, not so desirable. And so Jonah was a strange mixture of strength and weakness. And I think each of us can see that within ourselves. I mean, there's some areas that we're very, you know, we're very submissive to God about. We're very strong in some areas, but, you know, there's some other areas, some weaknesses that maybe we don't like to confront so much and we don't like to think about. You know, we like to focus on our strengths and the things that we're good at and things that people like us for. But what about those weak areas that maybe even this morning God is putting his finger upon and says, you know, this is where I want to begin this morning and helping you to grow. And unless you confront this, unless you deal with this, we're not going to go any further with the Lord. And so Jonah had to confront his weakness. And I like, I'm running out of time here this morning, but I like the story and how it progresses. You know, Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord, but I love how God responds to it. God didn't say, "Okay, Jonah, you're running from me. Okay, I'm going to go find somebody else to do it." Now, God didn't do that, did he? What did God chased him down. God pursued him. You know, God doesn't make mistakes when he calls a man. When God, you know, the Romans chapter, I believe it's Romans chapter 8, I believe it is, or Romans chapter 9, I can't remember exactly where it is, but it says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God does not make mistakes when he calls a man or he calls a woman to do a job. He has that person in mind. He wants to use that specific person. And so God's not just concerned about getting a job done or a task. He's actually interested in the person that is accomplishing the task. And so he chases down Jonah. We know goes through great lengths to get his attention. I mean, causes a storm. They throw Jonah over, and then God causes the whale to come and swallow him up. And then, you know, God's getting his attention. God wants Jonah to realize that he means business, that this is something serious. This is upon the heart of God. And we find here that Jonah finally submits to God's will. And then the whale, of course, expels him onto dry land. And he goes and follows and submits eventually to God's will. And then in chapter 3, well, actually, let's look at chapter 2 in verse 1. This is after, of course, he prays. I love how chapter 2 begins. It says, then Jonah. And then it says in chapter 3, it says in verse 3, it says, "So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh." You know, there needs to be a then experience. You know, because of chapter 2 and how that began, then Jonah prayed, we have chapter 3, verse 3, so Jonah rose and went. You see, there was a time when he said, okay, God, I realize this is something I need to do. This is something that you want me to do. This is something I need to do. And it's best that I do it. It's best that I follow your will. And so Jonah rose. And I still don't think Jonah was there yet. I mean, you know, he probably just didn't want another whale experience. He didn't want to go through all that and all the troubles, and he didn't want all that. So he said, okay, you know, lest this happen to me or something worse, lest God kills me, you know, I better get going. But it was more than that, and it was a lot deeper than that. He did go to Nineveh. He preached, and then something extraordinary happened. The city, there was revival that took place in that city, but yet, you know, if you look at it, it could end there and say, okay, well, Jonah did what God said. The city repented. It was saved from God's judgment. And you could look at that and look at that as a success and a great victory that took place. The city was saved because it repented, revival, right? It could have ended there. But no. We find Jonah. Look at chapter 4, verse 1. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was this not my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take I beseech thee my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And you think Jonah would have been happy? All his people got saved. I mean, you think he would have been busy discipling folks, you know, getting them ready to grow in the Lord, you know, but no, not the case. He got angry. He got angry at the fact that these people actually did repent and God showed his mercy. I think he would have been happy if God would have sent lightning bolts and fire from the sky and destroyed them. And so the Bible says here he was angry. But you know, God didn't say, okay, you know what, Jonah? Forget you. Yeah, the job's done. I'm done with you. You did what you're supposed to do. Now leave. He didn't do that, did he? We go on to read. Look what it says. Verse 4 of chapter 4. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what would become of the city. The Lord prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. I love the story because not only is God interested in, of course, the city and their repenting, and that certainly did happen, but God still takes time to go to an individual who is bitter, you know, who's whining and complaining. And he didn't just say, forget you, Jonah. He took time, didn't he? God took time to go and to comfort Jonah. And what this, if this lesson means anything this morning, it means that God is not only interested in the crowds and interested in the nations, but he's interested in individuals. He's interested in you this morning. And he knows the emotions, you know, the times we're angry and the times we're discouraged. And the Bible says that God took time to comfort Jonah. As he sat there bitter and angry, God took time to comfort him. He of course allows this gourd to grow, and of course, you know, the gourd has its big leaves, those big, you know, fan-like leaves, and Jonah found great comfort. But Jonah still wasn't there yet. He was still bitter and angry, and certainly at God, because God delivered the city. But look what happens in verse 7. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished himself to die. And he said, it is better for me to die than to live. So Jonah still wasn't there yet. He still needed to learn some things about God. Now look at verse 9. And God said to Jonah, "Doest thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night." Now let me ask you something, church. Let me ask you something. Who caused the gourd to grow? God did. Who caused it to wither? God did. And what he was teaching Jonah, you were happy for the gourd when I caused it to grow. And what he needed Jonah to learn was a great lesson, I think, that we need to learn this morning as well, church, is that, listen, God knows how to make His people happy. God knows what it takes to make us happy. He knows what it takes to make us sad. God knows us through and through. And He wanted Jonah to learn, hey, Jonah, the source of your happiness is me. I'm the source. And Jonah, you're running away from me. You're fleeing from my presence. You're reluctant to do my will. But Jonah, you need to understand that in order for you to be happy is to be involved in doing what I say. And allowing me to be your God and instruct you in my way. And listen, church, I believe we need to learn the same lesson this morning from Jonah, that the very best thing, the happiest place we could ever be is in the very center of God's will, doing what He desires for our lives. There could be a Nineveh in your life this morning. And I don't know. I don't know what God has. Again, I don't know God's will for your life. I only know God's will for my life. But there could be some area that God has been dealing with you about. And I just want to encourage you through this story this morning. The very best thing you can do, the happiest place you could be this morning, is being submitted to God's will and following His way. Let's pray.